Hi, this is Tim Foley, and you're listening to The Sirens of Audio.
Wales? Who's calling me from Wales? Hello, Dwayne speaking. Yep, this is he. Oh, Ash Darby, g'day. Thanks for calling me back. Do you have any idea how hard it's been to track you down? Thank you so much. I didn't even know the number I called was going to get through to you. Yeah, I know. So how do you feel about coming onto the Sirens of Audio to have a chat about some of your Torchwood scripts that not many people have heard from you about? Steve Berry, it's okay. We'll clear it with him. Don't worry. Okay. Yeah, I figured it was a pseudonym. What should I call you when we're off air? Okay. All right. Well, let me shoot you through some Zoom details and we can get this done, eh? All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, Russ. He said I could call him Russ.
G'day, audiophiles. This is the Sirens of Audio, the show that explores the universe of Doctor Who and the audio medium. I'm Dwayne.
And I'm Philip. G'day, Dwayne. G'day, audiophiles.
G'day, Philip. How's things with you?
Things are great. Thank you. Always.
Are you sure?
Yeah, just had a great phone conversation with someone, but that's for something in the future.
Oh, you tease.
I know.
Big tease.
I know.
All right. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the show from... Well, a variety of podcasts, which we'll no doubt talk about, but it's Martin Havel. G'day.
G'day. How are you doing?
Great. Welcome.
Thanks for joining us. This has been a long time coming. So thank you for that.
I've been trying to work down for about a year or so.
Yeah, even more than that. And you're wanting to talk about Torchwood. You're a bit of a fan of the Torchwood audio, so it's a subject that we haven't dealt with too often, Philip, so I'm glad we've got someone here forcing us to do it.
Definitely, yeah. We've only interviewed one Torchwood person.
Oh, we have too. Hmm. We have. Very good. What I'd like to know, Martin, is tell us about your podcast history, because you've been around in podcasting for quite a while. So tell us about your shows. You've got, I think you've got four on the go at the moment, four or five?
I subscribed to one last night, so that's the one I'm interested in, but we'll keep going and seeing what else happens.
Well, let's talk about the most recent one first then. It's called Bite Me, a Buffy podcast, and that's going to be hosted with Joe Ford, who people might know from Hamster with a Blunt Pen Knife, Finish Big. He's got four other podcasts. He's around. If you've listened to a Doctor Who podcast, you've heard of Joe Ford. We're going to be every week talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, going through every episode. And eventually we're going to, you know, make our way onto Angel and the comics and the books and the whole expanded media. Episode one comes out on the 13th of September, which I think by the time this comes out, it will be out. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting into that. We recorded the first episode a couple of days ago and went really well. We're really happy with it.
Excellent. When you get to season four of Buffy, is that when you're going to start? Are you going to go backwards and forwards, Buffy, Angel, week about?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yeah.
Excellent. I'm a huge Buffy fan as well, and Angel.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, I've never seen a single episode.
You've never? Oh, you need to get on it.
I came into the back door, so I'm a huge musical fan, and a friend of mine brought the musical episode to me and said, you have to watch this. I'd not seen an episode of Buffy before then, and I had assumed it was horror, and I'd assumed it was scary, and I watched the musical episode, and I went, I have got this show totally wrong, and then went back and watched it from the beginning, and I've watched it about five times through now, because it is so good. It is so clever and so, yeah, brilliantly made and filmed and the direction. And yeah, I love the characters.
And if you watch it now, you can see everything that RTD borrowed for Doctor Who and Torchwood.
Oh, that's for sure. Very, very Torchwood-y, actually. Very Torchwood-y. The whole hub, yeah. Season 4.
Yeah, you got the hub. You got the Hellmouth, which is basically the rift in time and space.
Yep.
In Cardiff. It heavily influenced Doctor Who in those early days.
Yeah, definitely.
So tell us about some of your others.
Okay, yeah, I've got Martin And, which is now an interview podcast that I do where I get people that I find interesting on and we just have a chat. That's coming back later on this month. I've had to put it on a bit of a hiatus because people were in Edinburgh or people were just off with their kids because of summer holidays. I've got Running Down Corridors, which I host with Chris Walker-Thompson, who some people might know as the Patrick Troughton voice guy, and our good friend Abby Louise. We go through Doctor Who. That's coming back in a couple of weeks because Chris just had a baby, so we put it on hold for a bit to give him some time. And then I got Bad Wilf again. That's been on a break, but that's coming back this month, and that's just a film and TV review show that I do with my friend Jared. And that's how I started podcasting. We started Bad Wilf about 14 years ago now.
And it was originally mainly Doctor Who, wasn't it?
It was, but then Jared fell out of love with Doctor Who pretty quickly. So we decided to start covering other stuff. He dipped out around the Capaldi era. He dipped out.
Okay. And what about you? Where's your Doctor Who fandom stem from? You've been were you a classic Who fan or?
So I didn't discover Doctor Who until Eccleston in 2005. I was aware of it. Like when you grow up in the UK, there's Doctor Who references in every other show. I knew what a TARDIS was. I knew Tom Baker played the Doctor. I knew who Sarah Jane Smith was. I knew what a Cyberman was, stuff like that. I'd just never seen it. I might have very fractured, vague memories of McCoy. I think I remember watching Survival back in the day, but I didn't really register what it was. It's because when Doctor Who used to be, I was watching the A-Team when I was like 8 or 9. So yeah, I got cancelled in 1989 and I was about 8. So yeah, it just wasn't in my wheelhouse. And I remember watching that McGann trailer. He's back and it's about time, that big bombastic trailer. I remember thinking, oh, I should watch that. And I just never did. Yeah, so it's 2005. Eccleston is probably my Doctor because that's the one I came in at. But my favorite Doctor is Sylvester McCoy. I just love him.
Yeah. Well, the A-Team really lasted, so that was a wise choice you made watching that one.
It's classic. But what was it about that first series that really appealed to you? What was it that hooked you?
It was probably the Buffy influence, to be honest. Yeah, I was a massive fan of Buffy and even Angel. And I just remember watching it thinking, this feels like what I know. This feels very familiar. And Eccleston's performance is so great. And I was on all the, I'm a sci-fi fan, so I was on all the old sci-fi websites. I was a big visitor to the SFX forum. So I was aware of what people were saying about Doctor Who. And, you know, everyone forgets now, but everybody was skeptical about Billie Piper coming in because we only knew her as a pop star in the UK. And she was a pop star that was a washed up pop star that had married Chris Evans, not that one. And was known for just getting coked up and pissed in Ibiza. So I just remember that furore. And then when we saw her act, I just remember just being enchanted. And I watched Rose at a family like gathering, and there must have been about 20 kids there. And when Doctor Who came on, they all sat on the floor to watch it, and they were all silent. They were all silent, and they were all transfixed. And as soon as I saw Rose, I was like, yeah, I like this show. And from that day forth is when my love for Doctor Who was seeded.
Awesome. Well, and it wasn't too long after the first series that Torchwood started to pop up in various Easter eggs throughout Series 2. And then it ended up making its appearance during that season. Was it during that season or after Season 2 that Torchwood started?
It was after Season 2, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a fan of that straight away as well?
The The first series is a mixed bag, but I thought there was enough potential there that it kept me coming back. Series two of Torchwood is my favorite. It's Monster of the Week. I think it's very standalone. I don't think there's a dud episode in series two at all. Series three is critically the best, and it's Torchwood for people who don't like Torchwood. But it's probably the best. I think you could break down that script and be like, series three is the best, but my favorite is series two. I even think there's stuff to like in Miracle Day. I think Miracle Day is a great 5-episode idea stretched to 10.
Yeah, I struggled with Miracle Day, probably for that reason. What about you, Philip? Were you instantly hooked on Torchwood, the TV series?
I think I found the first episode a bit of a shock, but I enjoyed it. And the second episode, I thought, with the sex monster, I really, really wasn't sure. And the Cyberwoman episode as well. So there was a lot of episodes in there, I think it was about Chris Chibnall, which I really struggled with. But I loved the main characters. I loved Captain Jack. I loved Gwen. So I really got into the characters well. I just didn't like a lot of what they were doing, because it felt like they were just trying to be adult and grown up by swearing a lot, having lots of sex and lots of violence. And I think by the second season, they worked out you can be adult without doing that to excess.
Yeah.
So I think they were just it was just too try hard the first season. But there's some good episodes in there, and they do establish the characters, but they're not all likable. Though even the Bernd Gorman's character, who is totally dislikable in the first season, by the second season you actually do kind of accept him, even though he's still a prat. So second season I really enjoyed.
He's got a reason to be a prat by the end of the second series, hasn't he?
That's true. And I hated the ending of the second season. I thought it was just awful what they did to two of the characters. And then what they went on to do with Yanto in what's it called? So
Children of Earth.
Children of Earth. But the Children of Earth was just an amazing event. And we sort of, I think we sort of in Australia, we had spread out over a week. Whereas I'm pretty sure that in Great Britain, they had it every night for 5 nights. So it would have been much more of an event TV then. But that, once again, that alien, I mean, Russell T just made aliens that, they weren't aliens of the week like Doctor Who, which was they came to conquer Earth. They had a bizarre purpose. And that alien, whatever, it was the number, whatever it was, 37, whatever it was just terrifying.
468?
Something like that. It was just terrifying.
456. 568.
Whatever it is. It was just terrifying. Its purpose was awful. So, I did enjoy Torchwood a lot. Preferred Sarah Jane Adventures because I'm a softie. But there's still a lot in Torchwood I appreciate. And I do think the audio CDs have made the show even better.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I think Big Finish has managed to capture things even better on the audios than they did on the TV show.
It's interesting being a long-term Doctor Who fan, having something set in that Doctor Who universe, and then being hit with all the adult content shocked me as well. You're right. I was like you. It was very much a shock. But there were a couple of episodes, particularly in that first season, that stood out. I really like Cyberwoman. I know it's universally panned, but I actually like it. It always stood out in my mind. And I think the other standout for me was Countryside, which didn't have any monsters in it.
Oh, no, they have monsters, but the humans.
Yes.
That is utterly terrifying, that episode. It's still frightens me.
I think that from the first series, that would probably be my standout episode, with a magnificent performance from the actor who I can't remember, but he was in Vengeance on Varos.
Cyberwoman, I think the core idea of that episode is really good. And I think it's kind of it's been a bit impeded by lack of budget and stuff, because basically, so Torchwood was announced in October 2005. They started shooting in May 2006 and it broadcast in October 2006. So they had basically half the time and half the budget to make the same amount of episodes of Doctor Who. And I know originally in Cyberwoman, Yanto was going to be keeping Lisa in a different location. And throughout the series, we were going to see him pocket bits of tech and stuff. And that episode was going to come much later. But then all that had to get cut. So I think maybe that's why it falls a little bit flat. But yeah, the core idea of Cyberwoman is really good. I want a target novelization for Torchwood episodes. And I think that one could work really well.
Yeah, it was the costume I just thought was just ridiculous.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense because you've got the Cybermen that are on their back foot and they're just making loads of Cybermen out of scrap, but yet they got the time to custom make this woman a cyber costume. It doesn't make any sense.
Sexy Cyberwoman, yeah, it didn't work. But I think you're right. I think the story itself is good. And had she been, you know... Our transformed, Good point. Anyhow.
Okay. So that's the TV series. But before we talk about the stories that you've selected, there is one thing I would like to do, Philip. Do you know what that is?
No, what do you want to do, Dwayne, before we go into the series?
Oh, I would like to jump down that rabbit hole. Let's go. Right, we're down the rabbit hole. And since we're going to be talking about the audio series of Torchwood, I want to ask you the question. These audio releases, particularly from Big Finish, because they're not the only audio series of Torchwood, the Big Finish ones in particular are very cut down with cast. There's usually one or two cast, and the majority of them don't feature, especially Captain Jack, but and maybe a little bit more often, Gwen Cooper. So with the TV series being so focused on Captain Jack and Gwen, how would you convince a fan of the TV series to delve into the Big Finish audio adventures of Torchwood? Can we start with you, Philip?
Yeah, thanks.
I'd like to give you 2 seconds to think.
I actually don't think it's hard to convince people because I think the strength of Torchwood was initially really was seen as a character. It was a group show. And so although Captain Jack led the team and we were introduced to Torchwood and Gwen was our point of view in, almost immediately, Sato, I'm trying to think of what her name is, first name.
Toshiko.
Toshiko and, the Doctor, Byrne Gorman is you need to refresh. Owen. So those two are very much seen straight away as very strong characters. Yanto took a lot longer to actually establish himself. He was sort of on the periphery. And, of course, that first episode also had that amazing actress, Indira...
Varma.
And, of course, she was in all the advertising. So, yeah, what they did with her that first episode was just unbelievable. And it was a trick that, once again, Russell had taken from Buffy in terms of creating what you think is going to be main cast members and then you kill them off straight away. And because she was on all the advertising and all the things because she was going to be a main character. So I think the show established itself straight away as an ensemble piece. And so whether Gwen or Jack were there or not, I don't think really mattered. And I think everyone had their own fans. So people had their Yanto fans, people had their Jack fans. And I think for that reason, it's actually worked quite well that you don't have to have Jack or Gwen. I think it's a shame not to have them. And there's, you know, at the moment, John Barrowman won't be coming back for the foreseeable future. So we won't be getting any more Torchwood with him for, if ever, foreseeable future. And of course, you know, Gwen played by
Eve Miles.
Thank you. My brain.
She's just getting bigger and bigger. So she's probably less available than.
She's probably Wales.
Apart from Byrne Gorman, he's busy too.
Yeah, she's probably Wales' most famous actress, and she is amazing in everything that she does and has always got so much work. Byrne Gorman does a lot too. So all of them really established themselves really well. I mean, they were so well cast that, I don't think it matters. And then they managed to introduce characters like Queen Victoria, and who wasn't even in the original Torchwood. She has a whole series of stories which just still all work. But it comes down to what it always comes down to. It all comes down to the writing. If you write a good story with good characterizations that is engaging, and now you set it in the right world, people are going to be engaged. And the stories we're going to talk about today are so different, but it's the Torchwood world, and you are just get pulled into them all straight away. And there's always the right amount of humor, the right amount of fear and terror. It's just very clever. And yeah, always, it's about the writing. Write something well and it will work. You don't write it well, then you're really struggling.
How would you convince someone, Martin?
For me, I agree with Philip entirely, but I would say if you like early Big Finish, when Doctor Who was being experimental and the BBC didn't really care about the brand and they were able to take it in bold new directions, that's kind of what the Torchwood monthly range is now. They will do stuff in the audios that the BBC would never let them do in Doctor Who. I'm not even talking about the adult nature of it, just certain plot lines and storylines they wouldn't want anywhere near Doctor Who now. And it's a great character piece. I always thought that Toshiko was a little bit underserved in the TV series, but she's got a great set of audios and it's just a great expansion of these characters. And it really reminds me of what Big Finish used to do with Doctor Who.
It's sort of taken over the Companion Chronicles range, which was always very, because it was very cheap, because they only used one or two actors, the writers had to be really experimental with what they did. And yet Torchwood was doing exactly the same thing. They're really going out on a limb to try unusual and new things, new styles of writing, new storytelling techniques, and it works. What about you, Duane? Then how would you talk someone to listen to these?
Well, I agree. I can't really add too much more to it than what you two have already said, but I would say that even though the central characters in the TV series were Gwen and Jack, I think the audios have actually evolved. And the central character to me, I don't know, whenever I dip in, because I dip in and out, but a central character for Torchwood now is Yanto. And we get to see how important he is in that team. He is like, you've got the actual physical hub, but Yanto seems to be the hub of the team. And that's how he seems to have been placed in the audio series. So for me, it's Yanto who's actually the star of Torchwood now. But not only that, we've got, you've mentioned Queen Victoria, you've got Torchwood Soho, then you've got the brand new series of Torchwood from like the Among Us team that they've added characters to as well. So there's lots of new elements to explore. Combine that with all those great stories that keep getting pumped out. I don't know how they can pump out so many great stories consistently over such a long period of time. But I'm rarely disappointed. I say I dip in and out of Torchwood because I always give Doctor Who priority. But when I do go into Torchwood, I'm rarely disappointed. Rarely.
Oh, it's consistently good. I think there's only one or two that I actively dislike. But yeah, most of them, I would say they're at least a 7 out of 10 in consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. So for anyone who wants to test out Big Finish, the Torchwood range would definitely be one to have a look at. So with that said, let's crawl up out of the rabbit hole. And, well, Martin, let me ask you first, before we get into the stories, what got you into regularly listening to Big Finish in the first place?
I don't know. I think I just wanted more Doctor Who. I've got a story, actually. Around 2003, I worked at Blockbuster Video with my friend Mark, and he was the only Doctor Who fan I knew at that point. He loved it. And he used to give me a lift to work. It took us an hour to get there. It would take him about 10 minutes to get to me. He used to listen to Big Finish. And I used to lie and say I didn't need a lift and get the train so that I didn't have to listen to these Doctor Who audios. But bear in mind, I had no context to what Doctor Who was at the time. And I didn't know these were specific audio dramas. I just thought he was listening to audio rips of episodes. And he would always be 10 minutes in when he arrived to pick me up. So I would never get the start of an audio or the end of an audio because he would drop me off first. So I would just get really frustrated. But yeah, it was around 2007 I started listening to the Paul McGann, Sheridan Smith stuff, and I got in that way, and that was my gateway into Big Finish.
Very good. Now, you've chosen some stories. I vetoed one of them. You chose three of them, and I threw one of my favourites in there. Sorry, Philip, we didn't ask you.
Which did you veto?
I think there was a selection of about five or six, and I chose three and put in one of mine.
Okay.
Good. I think
I'm always more curious about what you've left out and why, but that's okay.
it was, oh, yeah, okay. I'll have a look at his list later and tell you.
Yeah, I want to know.
I can't remember.
All right. Shall we do these in chronological order of release? So if we start off with Torchwood Dissected, I'll read a blurb for it. It says, Gwen Cooper turns up on Martha Jones's doorstep with a dead body in tow. She needs to ask one final favour of her and to find out why they stopped being friends. A lot's happened to Torchwood since Martha left. A lot's happened to Martha since she left Torchwood. And there's something very odd about the dead body Gwen's brought with her. Tonight, Gwen's going to be getting more answers than she's bargained for.
Dr. Martha Jones. Please don't use my full name. Makes me think there's trouble.
From Big Finish Productions, Torchwood, Dissected.
Let's get on with this. Caucasian male, late teens, deceased.
And I need to know what killed him.
Okay. Thank you. Could you pass the scissors? I'll remove the clothes.
Oh, I never liked this bit.
What bit?
Oh, I don't know. The beginning. You don't have any of the answers. Or, you know, all you have is this, the trauma up front, you know?
I just want to know what happened to him. This kid. Who he was.
But we'll find the truth. We'll find the truth tonight.
Big Finish. We love stories.
All right, so I'll just start off by saying that when I first listened to this, I had my headphones on, and in the first scenes, I was checking my headphones. I thought there was something wrong with them, and it didn't click with me until a little while later what was going on, and I didn't have to panic about my headphones. But Martin, what is it you like about Dissected? Of course, this is the first time we've got Freema Agyeman appearing as Martha. For Big Finish, let alone Big Finish Torchwood.
Yeah, I have always loved the character of Martha Jones. And I feel like whether it was performance, Freema was still very new to acting at the time, or whether it's just the way the character was written, I never felt that Martha Jones reached her full potential on TV. What I really like about her character is here, we're used to seeing Martha be the glue. So she's the glue of her family. She's the glue in the TARDIS. She's keeping everything together. Everyone, you know, she's making sure everyone's in line. But in this one, we get a Martha that has kind of, she's lost her, you know, she's fallen out with, what's his name? Tom Milligan. She's no longer engaged to him. And her life is kind of falling apart. And it's interesting to see that side of Martha.
Yep.
For people who don't watch Torchwood, they may not be aware of the fact that Martha actually went into Torchwood for 3 episodes. And she in the second season, I'm still curious to know what the whole story is behind Martha. But for whatever reason, Russell didn't put her into season 4 of Doctor Who. Martha was in all of the third season. But he did do a deal with her in terms of she was going to get, I think she got 5 episodes in Doctor Who and 3 in Torchwood as sort of the payoff for being out of Doctor Who. So for 3 episodes, she became a very major figure in Torchwood. Well, two of the 3. She was a major figure, 1 not quite so much. It wasn't used that well. But yeah, so Martha was actually part of the crew. And so a lot of this is actually going back and dealing with the relationships Martha had started with Gwen while in Torchwood.
And this is one of those experimental stories too, that I think every story that we're talking about tonight is experimental, unless that's just Torchwood across the board. But like I said, with me thinking my headphones weren't working properly, we are looking at this whole story from the perspective of virtually a corpse that starts off in a body bag. So it's a fascinating way to start. And interestingly, written by Tim Foley. This one's written by Tim Foley. 3 out of the 4 stories that we're going to discuss, all written by Tim Foley. So we love his Doctor Who stuff, but boy, he's great in everything he does. And I saw recently that Tim is stepping back from Doctor Who and from Big Finish very soon. I don't know if that includes Torchwood, but if it's all a Big Finish, it will include Torchwood. And he's going to be sorely missed, I think, as far as I'm concerned. He's one of their best writers.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great loss. It's a great loss. I wish him well in his career because he's such a fantastic writer. I'm going to support whatever he does next. But yeah, he's just consistently good across the board. He might be my favorite Torchwood writer.
James Goss must come close too, though.
Oh, James Goss, David Llewellyn. How could I say I've got a favorite? It's like saying you've got a favorite kid. No, I don't have a favorite.
No, I have a favorite kid some days. Depends on the day. I think it's brilliantly written. As Dwayne said, the whole story basically is taken from the point of view of the body. And so even when they leave rooms, it's done through Tannoy radio. So still the body hearing them in another room, but just listening in through a radio. And it's all done in real time as well. So I think the whole story is in real time. So there's no breaks or anything. It's just the action going on for one hour. Freeman's supposed to be going, Martha's supposed to be going off for her farewell party in half an hour's time. And so the whole thing runs like that. So it's cleverly told that way.
So with only two cast members, who's doing the eerie voices, do you think?
Sound designer.
Probably.
Probably Peter Doggett.
Peter Doggett.
Mm. Might have been
Scott
Hancock.
I don't see that name very often.
No, Peter hasn't done a lot of stuff for Big Finish. Just a quick look now. Oh, there's 29 results down. So he did the Time Lord Victorious stuff for Big Finish. He's done a lot of Torchwood. And he did some of the Time Machine and First Man on the Moon as well. So he's done bits and pieces. He's around, but it's I don't think we've ever particularly noted him in the past. Which is sad because he's actually done a really good job because the sound design work is his hard work.
Where is this set, do you think, in the Torchwood universe? Just after series two, because they do mention the death of
They're still getting over the death of Owen and Toshiko, and it's before Martha's taken up with Mickey, because Mickey's mentioned, so she does know Mickey by this stage. So it probably is after Stolen. So it'll be after Stolen Earth as well, but it's before the child one.
It's before Children of Earth. Yeah,
before Children of Earth. So that's the period set in.
Here's a question for you, because this is not the first time Freema Agyeman has appeared in a Torchwood audio. Did you know that?
Yeah, she did one for BBC Radio.
Yep, 2008 there was one called Lost Souls, and she's there, and that is set around the same time. So I was only listening to it today, thinking I wonder if that was before or after, because by the stage Lost Souls was released, Martha's away again from Torchwood. So she was away from Torchwood anyway in series two, wasn't she? She left. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to fit Lost Souls into the time frame, which I'm not sure you'd want to because it's not that good, but if you go through it, this would have to take place after Lost Souls, because she is presumed dead at the end of this episode. She basically just becomes a quiet agent on the run with Mickey after this. So yeah. she's no longer working. So this would be the last one before she disappears.
I'm curious, why do you say it's no good?
Lost Souls?
Yeah.
I just found it dragged, the story. Really? It has been a while since I've listened to it.
But I think you need to listen to it again.
Okay, do I? Okay.
I remember really enjoying it. Yeah.
Is that the Hadron Collider?
Yes. Yes, that's the one. Yep.
Written by Joe Lidster.
Okay, I will listen to it again. It has been a long time.
I'm biased, though. Whenever I see Joe Lidster's name, I'm instantly thinking this is going to be great. So I could be biased just because it's him.
Does the sound recording sound like it's just in a room, though, just with very few effects and very few little sound design?
It's very different to the kind of sound design we get in Big Finish. So it could have been recorded in the single room with all the players around
And I feel like all the effects are happening practically at the time. So, you know, the bicycle thing is actually really happening live.
No, maybe wrong. I think you're being overly harsh, because I thought the sound design was sensational.
Okay, I will go back and listen again.
Yeah.
I'll let you know what I think when I listen to it again.
No, it's okay if you don't like it. It doesn't bother me. You can like it.
I wouldn't have listened to it since, what was it, 2008? So I've not listened to it for 13, 14 years. So my views may change.
There you go. Any final thoughts on Dissected? What did you think of the combination of putting her with Gwen? Was that the right choice?
Yeah, they had a bit of a relationship in series two, bit of a blossoming friendship, I would say. And, you know, we get the feeling that some time has passed since they last saw each other. So there's another adventure that we haven't yet heard that speculates on what happened. But yeah, we do get a reference to Mickey. You know, what's interesting is my fiance's never really seen Doctor Who. So we are watching it and we got to series two. And it's when Mickey goes off with Jake in Pete's world. She was like, oh, are there any Big Finish audios featuring Mickey and Jake? I'd really like to listen to those. And I was like, no, and there probably won't be now.
Probably not. Probably not.
And it's the only time she's ever expressed any interest in listening to Big Finish.
Maybe we can recast Mickey.
I just think in terms of you put two very strong actresses together, they are very powerful, they're very different characters, but they're both strong, they stand up to each other, and you have such a wide-ranging conversation dealing with issues of love and grief and professionalism and what does the future hold and dealing with, if you've traveled with the doctor, how do you recover again? So the breadth of conversation is just gigantic. And then on the side, you've got a bit of an alien menace. But yeah, the important thing is the character, not the alien menace. In fact, you keep forgetting that he's there. And they go, oh, that's right. Things are happening there as well. I just want to point out, you know, Scott Hancock, in terms of this stage, directing, script editing, just really holding the reins together in a really brilliant way at this stage. I mean, he's going to hand over equally brilliantly to James Goss. But this stage, yeah, Scott Hancock was just doing an amazing job.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to the second story. This one, this is the one I inserted into Martin's selections. It's Tropical Beach Sounds and Other Relaxing Seascapes, Volume 4, and the blurb reads, you are listening to a self-tape. You're hearing a soothing voice. You have always wanted to do something with your life, haven't you? Oh, how you've ached to be a better person. Well now, this is your chance. Go on, sit back, close your eyes, relax. You're going to learn all about Captain Jack Harkness. You're going to learn all about Torchwood. You're going to change the world.
From Big Finish Productions, Torchwood. Life is stressful. Life is cruel. Sometimes life is exactly like being shot twice in the stomach while the love of your life dies in a nuclear meltdown. But enough of living like that. Let's make a change. Sit back, relax, close your eyes. Listen to the warm, expensive tones of Sir Michael Palin as he takes you through Tropical Beach Sounds and Other Relaxing Seascapes, Volume 4. Can you hear the waves? Can you feel the hot sand beneath your toes? Can you taste the blood? Of course you can. Good. It's time to change the world. It's time to become someone new. Big Finish. We love stories, even yours.
All right. So this is one of those experimental stories that I absolutely adore. There's quite a few in the Doctor Who range that I like. Natural History of Fear is one of those experimental Doctor Who stories that I love. And this is one of those along those kind of lines where you sort of think, how can they possibly do anything like this? But you put Sir Michael Palin on the and combine him with Tim Foley. Oh my goodness, we've got a recipe for something very, very special there. And I think we all enjoyed this one. You enjoyed this one too, didn't you, Martin?
I did, yeah. And it's completely different to what I was expecting it to be. And it just completely shatters expectations. And like you said, it's experimental. And I love Michael Palin. Who can't like Michael Palin? It's just such a great audio. Philip, what do you think of this one?
Yeah, no, I love it. I mean, yeah, Sir Michael Palin. I mean, he's funny because he never uses the Sir, but they deliberately wanted to put it on the front cover because it made a point to the fact that Sir Michael Palin is listed above Torchwood as the star. I'm a huge fan. My father got me into Monty Python when I was young, and I went through school quoting Monty Python and doing Monty Python skits at camps. So Michael Palin has always been a hero of mine. And so when I heard he was doing a Torchwood, I couldn't imagine how it was going to work. And then as soon as I put this on, I just sort of went, ah, oh, this is bliss. And his voice and his reading. And yet he's actually such a good actor because he gets downright scary at times. And just the way he storytells is just beautiful. So, yeah, I was blown away by this. And, yeah, it just kept me enthralled the whole time.
At the time this came out, I had been recently hanging out with some woo-woo people. I had done a sound healing, which was very similar to Michael Palin's narration throughout this. So it was ringing very, very true to me. I think Tim Foley had listened to a self-help tape. They call it self-help tape, but be more like self-guided meditation more than anything is what they probably refer to it these days. But it's interesting that the cover illustration actually comes out within the story. And as you can see in the illustration on the cover, Captain Jack is holding a cassette tape. So this is, we may as well spoil it. So fast forward now if you don't want to hear it, but there is an alien who has invaded a cassette tape and has been waiting to be able to get out of that cassette tape. And it was a long time throughout the story, but I was just listening away and thinking, oh, this is interesting. And towards the end, I suddenly realized, oh, this is actually me. It's actually me. It was kind of twisted with my brain. And so I love that aspect of it. And it was a fascinating way to get all of those characters, the whole Torchwood team, is in the story with none of the cast actually credited. So it
works. Love it.
Yeah. It's just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. Certainly, if you know the hub and you know the characters, I'd be curious to know someone who doesn't know Torchwood coming to listen to this, how it would work for them. But I think you'd probably pick up enough. But it's interesting.
I don't think it would quite work that well if you don't know the characters.
I think you'd struggle without knowing the characters because assumptions are made, and there's a lot of in jokes made about the hub, about where they bury things and put things. Which, if you don't know how a lot of Torchwood works, I think it would throw you slightly. Yeah. But just listen to Michael Palin. He could read the phone book and I'd listen to him.
Yeah, me too. And it was only a couple of months after this came out that we actually had Tim on the podcast, and so it was nice to talk to him about this, and he was very happy to be able to mess with my brain the way he did. He seemed to enjoy that very much. So if you get a chance, go back and have a listen to that podcast with Tim. And once again, yeah, I'm very sad that he's moving on, but not for him, for me.
I would just shout out Blair Merritt, who did the music, because the music is very typical of these sort of relaxation, breathing tapes, and unbelievably tacky at times. But it is just what you need. And so I think Blair's done an amazing job capturing the spirit of the music so well. And then you do get that Torchwood-y, background-y, vibe-y stuff as well. But a lot of the tacky stuff makes me smile as I listen to it. It's just so bad, but it's good.
I agree.
I just noticed the date of the recording is the 15th of January 2020. So they got that in just in time. If it was a month or two later, they may not have even been able to get him due to lockdowns and all that kind of thing.
Before times.
I remember that. All right. Let's move on to the next one, unless we've got anything else to say about Tropical Beach Sounds.
No, it's a difficult one to talk about because I feel like people really need to experience it.
Actually, that's the right word. It really is something you experience because it's not normal storytelling at all. It is something that you do actually just put the headphones. I remember we have a lovely park. We have a motorway that runs near us, and it's all parkland beside it. And I remember lying down in the grass and just having it on my headphones in the sun and just listening to this. And letting it wash over me because I just thought, this is just so good to listen to. So I remember exactly where I was listening to the majority of this CD.
You could actually use it as a relaxation tape, but as long as you use the sleep function on your Big Finish app, make sure it goes off after about 25 minutes because otherwise it might wake you up and you'll be a little bit disturbed.
Freaked out, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next one. And it is Torchwood Monthly Range number 44, which is, I guess it's probably a play on Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the title of this one. Reese and Yanto's Excellent Barbecue. And here's the blurb. Reese is planning a lad's night in. Barbie in the backyard, few tins, mates, and Bance. But the only person who turns up is Yanto, who hasn't been invited. Hell is other people, especially when they've brought board games. Something goes wrong. The two of them could be trapped together for eternity at a barbecue where the sausages never cook, and worse, the brewskis remain forever out of reach.
There's just something so satisfying about fire, isn't there? I feel like a Stone Age man.
From Big Finish Productions, Torchwood, Reese and Yanto's Excellent Barbecue.
Stephen? Stephen, is that you? The sky's getting dark and it shouldn't be getting dark.
Well, this'll be going in no time now.
Oh, you need to wait 20 to 30 minutes for it to reach the right temperature.
You sure you don't want a beer?
Fine, thanks. Do you have a glass I can use, though? Doesn't have to be a wine glass.
Oh, well, if it doesn't have to be a wine glass, yeah. Inside, I'll go and grab you one.
Need a hand with a cutlery or anything?
Cutlery? Cutlery, Anto, we're not using cutlery. It's a barbecue. We're cavemen. We're going to use our hands. And paper plates. They're in the bag. I'll be right back. I'll get you a glass. And maybe a crystal decanter off the matter, eh?
I mean, yeah, if you've got one.
It's closing in, the air. The angry air.
Big Finish. We love stories.
I'm really looking forward to this. Lads, lads, lads.
Okay, Martin, why was this one on your list?
I think this is a great example of how men are together. Like, we never want to talk about the serious stuff. We just want to talk about our hobbies or something like that. We struggle to open up. And here, Reese is dealing with the death of a friend of his. And I think this is just such a great exploration of male friendship and bonding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Phil,
wow.
Your thoughts on that?
No, it's interesting. And it's also interesting comparing this to Dissected, where you have Martha and Gwen who are just pouring out everything at each other. And they haven't communicated. They haven't met up. They knew they should have communicated when things had happened. You know, Freema hasn't been there because she broke up and she was going through the breakup. But Gwen doesn't know that. Gwen's experienced the death of friends. The two, though, just blurt out everything. It's a huge emotional fest. Where here you have two men who just do not know how to communicate. They had hardly anything to do with each other on the show, and that point is made explicit in this audio, like in terms of, well, why are you here and what's going on? But you do have this situation of... Torchwood is a show about death. Like, there's so much death in Torchwood all the time, and generally speaking, it's not dealt with. Death has no consequences. Someone dies, you move on. The death of the main Torchwood people has a larger consequence. Two of them come back from the dead, for goodness sake. And so death is a major theme that always happens throughout Torchwood. But in this situation, you've actually got Reese dealing with suicide and the death of a mate, and yet none of his friends, none of his group can actually work out how to express it, how to deal with it, how to deal with mental health, any of those issues. And so it's only by being trapped in a bubble, literally, that suddenly you have to start working out how to actually deal with those situations. So it's an enforced way of dealing with emotion. Done in a humorous way, done in a backhanded way with a lot of black humor. But it is an interesting exploration of malehood. And I said, when you compare this to Dissected and you get those two couples together, you really do have a different way of relating in terms of how people relate. What do you think, Dwayne?
Well, it's interesting. If there was one story that I had any... Because occasionally there's things that come out in Torchwood that I have issues with for personal reasons, and this might have been one of them, because we don't know that Reese is dealing with the issue of his friend's suicide until towards the end. And we've got Yanto coming in saying things about and using the term toxic masculinity, and I'm thinking, there was nothing really toxic about what he was doing. And then even in the extras, James Goss is making fun of toxic masculinity. I think he was doing it in a tongue-in-cheek way, but I wasn't quite sure whether they were whether it was trying to attack it, or whether it was Yanto's character going in assuming this was toxic masculinity and then realizing that it really wasn't towards the end of the story. I wasn't quite sure where it was, so I was I actually listened to this one twice because I wanted to give it a good go, and there's a lot more to it than my initial reaction to it, which was, oh, I don't like some of the elements of this. Because, you know, having many of us have been, perhaps all three of us, I don't know, but I know I certainly have been in a situation similar to Reese in this, having to deal with suicide. And I couldn't really relate to the toxic masculinity thing because I've always been able to talk about it, about things like that with my friends. So I didn't get that. But Martin, you're saying that's how guys are. So maybe I'm the one that doesn't know what I'm talking about.
It might just be how we are in the UK. Maybe right. We're a bit more reserved about talking about such things. What I love about this also, it deals with the awkwardness of having to deal with your partner's work colleagues. But that's always an awkward encounter. And I love that just captures this. And it's got Yusuf Kirkor, who is, I think, one of the best actors in the UK at the moment. Accents, he can do them all. He's done a few Big Finish audios, and he's just magnificent.
I mean, it's dealing with, I mean, there's issues in terms of the way they want to deal with it is come around and get drunk. But it's not about it's the failure to talk about what's going on, which is part of the problem. But you've got Reese who, you know, don't get out the pink chairs because men don't sit on pink chairs, and so there's sprinkled throughout is these expectations about how you are to behave. We don't use cutlery, we don't eat salad. So it is actually saying a lot about.
But what's wrong with that? What's wrong if you don't want to sit on pink chairs? What's wrong if you want to eat the meat straight out of off your paper plate?
Because a lot of it because I think it's about the terms of the sort of ways that males are just expected to behave, whether they want to behave that way or not. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with sitting on pink chairs either, but men don't sit on pink chairs. So I think it is sort of saying that our society is riddled with cliches and ways of behaving. And that, it's not trying to deal with those issues in depth. But there's enough there in terms of thinking in terms of, you know, do I struggle with, I mean, there's the thing about Yanto being gay or bisexual, I guess he's in this, and how does Reese deal with that and how do his mates deal with that? Because it's, once again, certainly outside of what Reese's experience is in his comfort zone. There is the issues in terms of Reese dealing with a wife who is far more successful than him in terms of career, and she's busy and she's out, and yet he's the one who has to stay home and keep her home. So there are a lot of issues there that are good issues for males to think through and explore, because I think what a man looks like has changed considerably over the last 30, 40 years. But some men don't want to change, don't want to see change, ridicule men who have changed. So I think it is trying to explore some of those issues. Not in huge depth, but there's stuff there that you could actually start really pulling out and trying to analyze and think, well, is this a problem? Is the stiff upper lip that is the British model a problem?
What do you think, Martin? Do you think it explores those issues well enough?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, it's just hinted at. It is stuff like the pink chairs. I mean, I would sit on a pink chair, but I would look for another chair first. So, yeah, I think it does explore those things incredibly well.
Okay.
But I can't really add anything to what Philip said, I'm afraid.
But does it subtly? I mean, and as I say, it's not hitting. It doesn't hit you over the head, which is I'm glad about. It's not preaching a point. It's not slamming you over the head. It's just a bit of an examination of society, and what do men do, and how do men behave in those sort of groups, and it's up to you to think about it in terms of is this healthy or not, and what is healthy, and so the conclusion at the end is the healthiest thing to do is. We need to talk about what happened. We need to talk about our mate. Let's not just keep ignoring that, but let's get together and have a real time in terms of let's talk through what happened. Because are we okay? Could how he responded, could it affect us? And, you know, we do know that, you know, suicide is still a major cause of death for men under, I think, 45. I think this is still the major cause. Certainly for men under 30, it's a huge issue. And men struggle to ask other men, how are you going? And I know that's not us, Dwayne, because I know, we do ask each other. But a lot of men don't. And very few of my friends would ever think about asking about another man's mental health and how they're going. I think we're changing, but I think we've still got a long way to go. And I think this helps to actually, raise it.
Hmm. I think it was a good idea of Reese's, though, to have a barbecue, have a few drinks, and once the beers were flowing, then the talk would have flowed after. That's how I find guys are anyway. But anyway.
Yeah.
There you go. Very interesting story, once again, by Tim Foley. So well done, Tim. Okay, let's move on to the last story from your selection. And I'm very, very glad you chose this one because it was definitely my favourite Torchwood story of the year it came out. Although it came out same year as Tropical Beach Sounds, didn't it? So they're probably equal first, let's say. And that is The Great Sontaran War. And that was written by James Goss. And I'll read the blurb. The Great Sontaran War has raged across the cosmos for millennia. And finally, it's coming to the Earth. Major Craig has been dispatched to carry out a strategic assessment of the planet. He will learn about the dominant life form, decide what the world has to offer, and discover the ultimate value of the human race. For Torchwood, there is only one place to put him. Welcome to the Mumbles Bay Caravan Park.
Jack wants you to fulfill your mission, to find out about humanity.
And report back to the Sontaran Empire.
What could possibly go wrong?
From Big Finish Productions.
Torchwood, The Great Sontaran War.
Let battle commence!
I am the most intelligent creature on the Mumbles Bay Caravan Park, let alone the planet Earth.
Ya crackers!
Let us advance on the other shower block and stain the drains red with the blood of our enemies.
There is a problem with your tongue. Someone is coming down.
I do not understand.
Stop hitting the checkouts.
I shall not scream. You will never hear a Sontaran scream.
You have a cat.
The internet is mostly about them. Therefore, I have acquired one for a search. Finally, this is the Great Sontaran War.
Big Finish. We love stories.
Waiter! Waiter! I demand you release us from this luxury hotel and spa!
Okay, Philip. How did you feel when you first heard this story?
I think you know that already. I think we have discussed this before because this did come up in one of our specials. I loved it. I think this is just hilarious. I think it's so cleverly written. And I love Dan Stuckey's performance. I think Dan is just the ultimate Sontaran. And one of the things that Dan became known for was having fun on set. And so I think different show writers saw him muck up and saw him misbehave. And I know they filmed things for Christmas specials and to put out onto their Facebook page because Dan just would go off and do bizarre things. And that became more and more written for him. And so this is very much one of those shows written for him. James Goss is the ultimate comedy writer, usually very black comedy writer, but in terms of being able to just put bizarre situations and funny situations together. And this is the ultimate of two people that just shouldn't go together in a situation which is just utterly ridiculous, a caravan park. You've got a cat that's a main character, Major Terrifying, whatever his name is, which is great. But as
Field Marshal Cat.
Marshal Cat. It's Field Marshal Cat, isn't it? And then it has this totally different feel of direction because all the others we've been listening to have all been directed by Scott. But by this stage, Scott's now gone off to work with Torchwood, Doctor Who in Cardiff. Everybody's in Cardiff anyway, but he's now working as a script editor for the new Doctor Who. And so Lisa Bowerman has stepped in and you feel the change in direction straight away. This is a 5-person cast, so this is a big cast for Torchwood, so that in itself feels different. But Lisa Bowman's director brings a totally different feel to her direction. And so, once again, you have this interplay of sound and song and rhythm and pauses, which other stories tend to drive. Most Torchwood stories just drive forward, and Scott, as a director, drives pace all the time. Lisa is all about stopping and breathing and those sort of pauses that happen and that stillness, and that really changes the whole feel of the story. But yeah, this is just brilliant. Martin?
Yeah, I agree. I think Lisa Bauman is one of the strongest directors of Big Finish. She's flawless, consistently good. This is my favorite Sontaran story on any medium. I think Dan Starkey's brilliant. He could play this role in his sleep now. He's brilliant. I love pairing him up with Yanto. I love the interplay with the other characters at the caravan park, especially with the landlord character. I can't remember his name. But I love all of that. I love the... He suddenly learns to become more human. I love that he thinks the cat is trying to stop him learning about the world because it sits on the keyboard. And just giving the Sontaran a cat is just inherently funny to me.
Yeah, and so much of what Yanto does is funny without realizing he's being funny. So it doesn't even occur to him that handing over a cat was a strange thing to do. And because the cat eats a bird at some stage too. And so it's this whole, dominant species conversation that happens. Yeah, it finds the human everything and yet still has emotion and story behind the humor, which is what James does so well. Was this your favorite, Dwayne?
I agree with everything you've said, particularly the humour. It makes me laugh. But when I was listening to it again for this, it made me think about something very serious, in that Sontarans are the ultimate neurodivergent species. They look at everything black and white, and you can really get a good sense of neurodivergent people with some of the things that Craig says throughout the play. Like, okay, so you've got a bird. What's in the pet food? It's chicken. Okay, so the bird must be food for the cat. So he takes the bird and gives it to the cat, and he just can't understand why you wouldn't do that. So this is the kind of thing that and having an a son with autism myself, I know that's how some people think. And as funny as it is, it also has a serious side, because it helps us to understand how some people think. And that's the thing I got out of it on my most recent listen. But yeah, the humour, Dan Starkey, great combination of Gareth David Lloyd and Dan Starkey together, brilliant. Looking forward for many more Sontarans to come. And Dan Starkey's worked with every doctor now as well, hasn't he?
Just about, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
He's worked with every modern doctor and now lots, yeah. And yeah, every doctor that's alive, he's worked with.
Yep.
And I think he's.
But the only new series doctor he wasn't with on TV was Chris Eccleston, wasn't it? So.
Yes, but he has worked with him now on
audio. But he was in Ravages, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think my favorite scene is when they're at the supermarket and he declares war on the self-service checkout. I think we've all been there.
I like the way that they reference the perception filter, because obviously a Sontaran walking around is going to raise a bit of a stir, which when you look at Paternoster Gang stuff on the TV series, you don't quite – is he wearing a perception filter in that?
He usually just covers up somehow, so you don't quite –
because Madavastra's people are accepting her too.
She veils herself, so she always goes out veiled. People do look at him strangely and do panic about him. But Victorian age, having people who are unusual,
a bit freakish,
was actually popular, because you had the freak shows and things. Where people were disabled were part of the structure of entertainment back then. So I think he fits into those categories.
In the Crimson Horror novelization, the Doctor gives Vastra and Strax a perception filter.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So it gives them one each.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least it was covered somewhere. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to sleep. And being set in a caravan park, I'm a mad caravanner myself, so I can relate to the things that go on in caravan parks. I've come
rain,
across
like it rains every day, which is what happens every time you go camping in the caravan parks. Yeah, I fully relate to that.
You are just a sook when it comes to camping, Philip. I know that.
5-star hotels.
You've got it. You've got to embrace it.
I don't camp anything under a 5-star hotel standard for me.
And I've had some very interesting experiences, very similar to the caravan park landlord there too. So I could relate to all that. So all in all, a sensational story. Yeah, brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. It wasn't long after that that we that year, I think that story might have been the last in about a series of about 10 Torchwood releases that we had James Goss writing everything that year. And then it kind of stopped. And we got all these other writers the year after. So he slowed down a lot. Anyone know why he was pumping out so much at that time?
Was it the lockdown? Because this would have been around COVID time. So there was a lot where they were remote recording. So maybe it was just easier to have him do it.
That makes sense. So this was recorded July 21. So, yeah, he would have been writing it during lockdown for sure.
It's only why most of the pieces here actually are two-handers. So this one actually stands out quite unusually because, you know, a cast of five is actually quite unusual because, you know, most of the ones during that year were fairly small casts.
From Big Finish Productions.
Minor rift spike. Minor incursion.
Let's go home. Nothing came through.
Something came through.
Torchwood SUV.
That misses a rapidly self-replicating terraforming system. Something's transforming the atmosphere, the planet. Today, the valleys. Tomorrow, Cardiff. Wednesday, the world.
Does it know we're inside?
Maybe it's just curious.
It's trying to get in.
Yes!
Normally, armies unite to defeat me. They fail. Tonight, just the two of you stand against me. What chance does your world have?
There's an alien invasion going on and we're stuck in a car. No power, no phone signal, surrounded by poison gas and monsters. How's that for a summary?
You left out the bit about us slowly suffocating in a gay Popemobile.
Yeah, I did.
Big Finish. For the love of stories.
We're gonna die. No defenses. No weapons. No crisps.
I'm just curious if you guys have heard of the Big Finish Torchwood conspiracy theory.
And what's
tell us
that?
Tell us what it is.
So there's a writer called Ash Darby they've written stuff like Torchwood SUV. Ash Darby doesn't exist anywhere but on the Big Finish website. And Ash Darby is never interviewed on any of the extras on any of the releases. People talk about Ash Darby, but Ash Darby's nowhere to be found. So people think it's a pseudonym for another writer at Big Finish.
Well, there's a challenge for us, Philip. We need to find out the identity. It could be like a who was the one they used to use in round season 16, 15, 16, 17 in the TV series? Who wrote The Invasion of Time?
Agnew.
David Agnew?
Mm.
Yeah, that was another one that they used to use. Maybe it's a pseudonym that several people use.
It could be that a story's had to be rewritten so much that it's completely unidentifiable from what it was originally, so they use that as like a placeholder name maybe. That's my theory.
Yeah. That has happened. That has happened in Big Finish.
Hmm.
So, fascinating. You've got Philip intrigued now.
Yeah. I'm on the case. I'm starting the research already and I'm seeing a few things coming up.
Well, Martin, I must say, thank you very much for choosing those Torchwood stories and forcing us to go and listen to those because it's a pleasure as always and it's been great to have you on. So, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been great. I'm a big fan of your podcast and I listen to every episode. There were moments where I nearly forgot to speak because I thought I was just listening.
Oh.
It's been an honour to come on.
I find that really high praise coming from you, so thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for your work too. You do some great stuff, and I'm very excited for Buffy.
Oh, it comes out on Saturday.
And if you need someone to come talk about the musical episode, let me know.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We'll get you on.
Well, that's also season 6, so feel free to bring me on earlier.
Now, before we finish up, we usually like to talk about what we've been listening to or recommend something. And Martin, I would adore it if you went first, but my list says it's Philip's turn. Sorry. What would you like to recommend, Philip?
Okay. I'm going to go totally off track and just recommend a book I've been listening to, reading, called Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus. It came out, I think, in 2022. I think it was a bestseller that year, I think. But it doesn't say much because I think bestsellers don't have to sell very many to be a bestseller. It's set in the 1950s and it follows the career of a female chemist and looks at what life was like trying to be a successful scientist for women in those days. And it's a fascinating exploration. She is neurodivergent as well. And so it's an exploration of a woman who's neurodivergent, unbelievably smart and brainy, but in a man's world, and men just don't cope with this. She ends up actually with a television program every night teaching people how to make nutritious meals for their families and for their kids, because she makes up the perfect nutritious meal for her daughter every day, and it gets stolen by another girl whose father happens to be a producer at a film studio. So she just goes and tears into this father. And she realizes he has no idea how to make a decent meal for his daughter. And so she becomes a miracle-wide phenomenon with his cooking program. But throughout it all, he's trying to teach chemistry and teach women they can be more valuable. And there's a lot of humor, a lot of pathos. It's brilliantly written. It's just got lovely language throughout and explores America in the 1950s in a not always flattering way, but in a sort of engaging way. And it's a strange thing I've been listening to. It's been recommended to someone I work with, and I just felt like a change. So
that's an audio book?
It is a book, and I listened to it as an audio book. So because I was swimming with it, because I've got my new waterproof headphones, so I was swimming laps listening to this audio book. But you can also get it as a real book as well.
What brand are they? We'll try and get a brand deal. You keep talking about them.
No, I'm not going to mention that. No, get the money first. But yeah, so it's called Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus. Great book.
Sounds interesting.
Very good. Sounds like something that could be adapted by the Big Finish Originals range.
My understanding is it's coming out as a movie sometime in the next 12 months. So it's also coming out as a movie very soon. It's actually starring Brie Larson. So that's Miss Marvel, isn't it, for the Marvel Universe? No, it's not Miss Marvel. What's her name? Marvel.
Captain Marvel,
isn't it?
Captain Marvel. Thank you, Captain Marvel. So Brie Larson is playing the main character, Elizabeth Zott. But also Beau Bridges is in it. Interesting, we talk about Torchwood Miracle Day, which starred Bill Pullman. It's actually got Lewis Pullman, who is Bill Pullman's son, and looks just like his dad. Like, I can't believe how much he looks like his dad. There you go. So, yeah. But read the book. Read the book. Always read the book first, because books are always going to be better than the movie. But so you've got a couple of months, I think, to read it or listen to it. Well worth it.
Very good. Martin, what have you been watching or listening to or reading?
So, yeah, I'm going to be really boring and recommend The Big Finish. And it's the Purity line of audios, which star the Sixth Doctor and Mel, along with Hebe Harrison, played by Ruth Medley, who is about to come up in the specials. Really good. I think it's my favorite Doctor Who range for a long, long time from Big Finish. And it's just the Dr. Mel relationship and that dynamic, and then how that interacts with EB's relationship with Toby Haydock. Toby Haydock's in it, and he plays a character called Ron. He's fantastic. And yeah, highly recommend that audio.
Because he was only in the first box set in that set, wasn't he? And he comes back in the last one, is that right?
Yeah, he's back in the last one. Brilliant character.
Haven't heard that one yet, but you recommend it, yeah?
Yeah, he's real life partners in it as well. They play a couple, cool. And it's just a great audio.
Excellent.
I mean, I love the Sixth Doctor and Mel together. I must admit, I was a bit disappointed when they added another character with that dynamic. I didn't feel it needed it. And certainly Hebe, I did not take a shine to at all in the first box set. I'm one of these people that actually believe the Doctor's companions should be nice human beings who you actually want to travel with. And she was a crampy so-and-so. I do think she improved the second box set, but she's not in the third box set at all. And those two stories in that third box set have been by far my favorites. And I need to get to the fourth one, which I haven't heard yet.
I agree with you, actually. Yeah.
Was she not in the third box set because she was filming?
No. Well, I don't know why she's not. There's a plot reason for why she's not in the third box set, which is because they're looking for her.
That's right.
Because she's been taken out of time. I don't know whether that was always the plan or not. But I do think those two episodes, and musical theater fan, Bonnie in a musical, and a lot of the backstage stuff that's happening in the musical episode, it's Bullets Over Broadway? No, I forget what it's called. It is the funniest episode. So
it's brilliant.
The Sixth Doctor and Mel together, those two are just so good. So I don't need Hebe. I'm sure it's wonderful that she's there, but personally, I just want Sixth Doctor and Mel together. So, but I haven't got to the fourth box set either yet. So, because I've been too busy listening to other stuff, Dwayne, this is all your fault.
Sorry about that.
So, what about you, Dwayne?
The whole lot of Doctor Who fandom is going to be talking about Bonnie Langford very soon. So, looking forward to that. For me, I'm going to recommend, I've already mentioned it, but hey, check this out. Can you see that?
Oh. Yes.
I'm going to recommend Torchwood Lost Souls. And the reason I'm recommending it is because I thought it was fantastic. It's a different kind of production to Big Finish. So because I mostly listen to Big Finish, particularly if it's Doctor Who or Torchwood, it's kind of refreshing sometimes to get a different taste of other productions, because the only person that is involved with this that has been involved with Big Finish is Joe Lister, although I think Brian Minchin and Gary Russell script edited the story too. So Gary obviously has been involved with Big Finish there. But different too, because you've got the whole Torchwood team it's the whole Torchwood team plus Martha. So after series two, that team. So there's one, two, three, four of them. And they're all together in an action kind of story. So the Big Finishes are more, they explore the people in the stories more. This is much more action based. So yeah, a nice change.
My feeling was more, it was more spy thriller than Torchwood 2 is my memory. But as I said, it's a long time ago since I listened to it.
It's got all the TV musical stings that you don't get in the Big Finish stuff, because they've got their own stuff that they've made up. But it's got all the stuff from the TV series. So if you like the TV series, you're going to like that. Torchwood Lost Souls. That's me.
I'll have a listen.
All right. Just before we go, I thought we'd mention, don't forget, Katie Manning is coming to Sydney and Melbourne in October. Tickets and information can be found at katiemanning.sirensofaudio.com. So get over there and check it out. Book your tickets. Come and meet us and say good day. The last two events we've had have been awesome. We've had a great time, and I think everyone else had a great time too, didn't they?
We have, and I've just booked the restaurant in Melbourne. So it's going to be an amazing three-course meal we're having in Melbourne in a very fancy hotel restaurant. It's going to be nice and very. Yeah. The artwork is crazy. I think Katie's going to love the artwork. It fits with her brain perfectly.
Yes, and I'm sure I'll enjoy the Melbourne dinner too, Philip.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right. Once again, Martin, thanks so much for joining us. It's been great.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hopefully, it won't be as long next time.
I'll put links to all your shows in the notes too.
Excellent. I'll come on whenever you want me.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
We'll make it more to your schedule next time. I'll stay up late.
No, this is our perfect schedule. We love this. We get our kids to bed, and we can just stay in the act all through the night. We're night people, Dwayne and I, so it's not a problem. Whenever Dwayne and I have to record during the day, you can always tell because neither of us are functioning properly.
No, we don't. It's weird.
Really hard work when we try and do a daytime recording.
All right, Philip, and you know what? You know I love you too. Guys aren't supposed to say that, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yeah, we're coming up to Are You Okay Day, so I hope you are okay, Dwayne, and I'll probably ask you again in a week's time.
Oh, good on you, Philip. Thank you very much. We'll catch you all next time.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
This has been the Sirens of Audio episode 170, Torchwood, Four of the Best, with our guest Martin Havel and your hosts Philip Edney and Dwayne Bunny. Original theme music composed by Joe Kramer. More about us and tickets to Katie Manning in Australia from sirensofaudio.com. comment below to let us know what you thought of the episode, or contact us via email at scienceofaudio@gmail.com or via any one of our socials. Thanks for listening, audiophiles. We'll hear you next time.